Welcome to Readsy Live, the podcast. I'm your host, Martin Kavanagh. In this show, I speak with professionals from the world of publishing to show you how to write and publish better books. Today, I'm sharing a recent talk from editor Tracy Gold about common mistakes in writing dialogue and how to avoid them. Tracy is a Readsy editor, as well as an author and teacher who loves helping writers realize their visions. She edits children's books, literary and genre fiction, as well as memoir. This conversation was recorded in April 2024 and live-streamed on Readsy's YouTube channel. So let's drop in with Tracy Gold and find out more about common mistakes in writing dialogue.
As an editor, I spend a ton of time talking about dialogue. I am a huge geek about it, and I can't wait to cover some common mistakes and how to fix them. So not just pointing out what is wrong, but also how to fix them. So once you've learned about these tips and my fixes, your dialogue is going to get so much better that people are going to ask you to hold courses about writing dialogue. Dialogue is in pretty much all categories of writing, and it can help your storytelling in any category. Just a quick note, dialogue's got to be great for both traditionally published and self-published books. And I have worked with authors of both types of books, and really it's the same common errors that pop up no matter what publishing journey someone is on. We're going to try to get through 7 common dialogue mistakes. We'll talk about why they're mistakes and how to avoid them. We're going to fly through some, and you'll get some instant ways to easily level up your writing, while others are a bit more complex. So just as a quick overview, we'll talk about characters telling each other what they should already know, characters talking in long chunks, confusing paragraph spacing, too many dialogue tags, too many fancy dialogue tags, and characters saying each other's names too much, as well as characters floating in space. All right, we're going to start with characters telling each other things that they should already know. So I had some fun coming up with an example of this mistake, and I'm going to read it aloud for you. Susan, remember when we went to the diner on Main Street last week? Mary put her fork down and took out her wallet. Why, sure, you got your favorite blueberry pancakes. Susan took a big bite of her salad. Well, remember how I forgot my wallet and you covered me? Mary waved her wallet in the air. It was my pleasure. This time, I'm paying. Mary handed her credit card to the waitress. So why is this a mistake? So basically, of course, Susan remembers going to the diner and paying for Mary. Mary doesn't have to tell her or remind her about any of this. And I see this kind of thing all the time. Why do writers feel inclined to do this? So Susan is saying this in dialogue for the benefit of the reader, not for the other character in the scene. As readers, we may not know about the time at the diner last week, and this writer, who is me coming up with an example, is using dialogue to fill in this past information. So doing this is a mistake because it can be like waving a big red flag. Hey, you're reading a book. These people aren't real. They're talking to you, the reader, not to each other. And we don't want to do that. We want people to forget that they're reading a book and feel like this is happening in real life. I use the word remember twice, and that's a bit of a red flag for me because it means the characters probably already both know what they're about to say aloud. So this mistake can happen without the word remember or with it. And it's not always about characters remembering something. Another example of what characters already know would be two scientists telling each other information that they would certainly already know, but the readers wouldn't, like getting into the details of rocket science or genetics or something like that. So when we write a novel or a memoir or a picture book, we want people to forget that they're reading a book and get immersed in the world of the story. So how would we fix this section of dialogue to be more realistic? The fix information that the characters already know, you can either put it in prose or use a newbie character. So here's how I fix that. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary put her fork down. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan took a big bite. This time, I'm paying. Mary waved her wallet above the table. She still felt bad that she had forgotten it last week. Susan had been so nice to cover her. So this is really simple. I kept in a little information about last week. I personally like to compare my favorite foods at restaurants across town, so that felt realistic and not too forced to me. I also moved the information about forgetting the wallet to the prose and out of the dialogue. And it's such an easy trick. Sometimes writers think that everything is more interesting when it's said in dialogue, but actually it is okay to just let us fly through any logistical nitty-gritty information in the prose. Then you can keep your dialogue more realistic and engaging. All right, next up, let's look at what using a newbie character would look like. My food was delicious, said Elizabeth. Well, I think the pancakes from the diner were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary put her fork down. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan took a big bite. This time, I'm paying. Mary waved her wallet above the table, then turned to Elizabeth. I forgot my wallet last week, and Susan covered me. That was so nice, Susan, said Elizabeth. So Elizabeth wasn't there last week, so Mary has to explain what happened to her. I'm sticking with a pretty low-stakes example here, pancake salad, but this would be more important for something like the rocket scientists who have to explain things to the reader a lot. So when you have a lot to explain, like scientific concepts or the rules of a fantasy world, you should use a newbie character. Or you don't have to, but it's one option. This is part of why we see a lot of books about people moving to a new place. They can observe their surroundings with the same sense of wonder that a reader would. I always think about Harry Potter when we talk about this, because Harry is new to the magical world. So it is realistic that the other characters need to explain everything to him. This is probably more common in kidlit, as we like to bring kids into a new world or a fantasy world more gently, whereas adults can be thrown into the deep end and be trusted to stick with it a little bit more. It's always a balance. How much information do you need to give and how quickly do you need to give it? It's always balance. All right, on to the next dialogue issue. Characters talking in big chunks. And I put these next to each other because characters talking in chunks often happens along with those characters imparting information to the reader. I don't think that we have time to do a really extreme example of this, so we're just going to use something still kind of low stakes and silly. All right, here's Mary's big chunk of dialogue. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. I have compared pancakes at all of the diners in town. It's kind of a hobby of mine. Last week was my all-time favorite because they were just so fluffy. I've got to see if they'll give me their recipe. It probably had preservatives in it, but they tasted so good, I don't even care. Second best has got to be the Seasons Diner over on Main Street. Oh, I can't wait to get back there. They include a side of bacon, and while their pancakes aren't the best, their bacon is. The science of how pancakes become fluffy is so fascinating to me. I think that we probably all know people like Mary, but we really don't need to know all of this about pancakes in one go. So the problem with not really having time to show an extreme example is that this does sound like someone we know, but if you know someone who talks like this, I am willing to bet that it is kind of a defining character trait for them. And if someone talks like this, you know, you think of that person like, oh, they are the talker. So if you have a character like this in one of your books, I would just say, know that that's going to stand out. Let's talk about fixing this issue. If you want to cover all of this information about pancakes, there are ways to do it without letting Mary monopolize the conversation. And of course, again, we're talking about pancakes, but we could be talking about important world building or scientific information. So the fix is cut it down or cut it completely in some cases, break it up or summarize. So cutting it, all we need is, well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Unless we're showing a pretty serious obsession with pancakes for plot and character reasons, this is all we need. Even with higher stakes information like world building, think about whether your readers need to know everything or if that information can be spread out through the book or just cut entirely. All right, next fix, breaking it up. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary put her fork down. Do you have a favorite pancake place in town? Susan said. Oh, for sure, but last week blew everything else out of the water. Before then, I would have said the Susan's Diner over on Main Street. Mary leaned back in her chair, rubbing her stomach. That's a lot of pancake knowledge. Susan took a bite out of her salad. I love comparing pancakes. It's kind of a hobby of mine. So that's much more realistic. Would be likely to find something like this maybe in a romance novel or a contemporary novel where we're showing a friendship developing between these characters where they're doing a more natural back and forth. All right, fix three, summary. This is one of my favorites because it can be just so easy and huge. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary put her fork down. Do you have a favorite pancake place in town? Susan said. Mary told Susan all about her hobby of comparing pancakes, ranking the different diners in town, and speculating about the recipes. So that shortened it up so much, and we can imagine that there's a back and forth without actually showing it if it's not about something vitally important to the plot. So one of my favorite tricks is to remember summary for when one character has to tell another what just happened in a scene that the readers already got to see happen. You can just say, and Mary told Susan what happened, and you are covered. This is a good trick for memoir too. And in memoir, you may not remember exactly what was said. So we might see more summary in memoir. You can just say, I remember the conversation went something like this, and then use a mix of dialogue and summary. It is possible to use too much summary in dialogue. I have seen that, and I will comment on manuscripts. I'd love to see this playing out in scene, but not enough summary is way more common than too much summary in my experience. All right, next one. This is kind of like a logistical mechanics one. Confusing paragraph spacing is pretty common as a dialogue mistake, especially in early drafts. All right. So to get to the example, well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Space. Mary put her fork down. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan took a big bite. This time I'm paying. Space. Mary waved her wallet above the table. She still felt bad that she had forgotten it last week. Susan had been so nice to cover her. So what I did here in this mistake example is I messed up all of the spacing from the previous example. If we hadn't read this before, we wouldn't know who said what. All right, let's look at what it's supposed to be like. Our fix is use a new paragraph whenever someone new speaks, thinks, or acts. And here is the example. And I'm going to keep saying space for that podcast. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary put her fork down. Space. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan took a big bite. Space. This time, I'm paying. Mary waved her wallet above the table. She still felt bad that she had forgotten it last week. Susan had been so nice to cover her. Space. Susan pulled out her wallet. No, don't even think about it. It was my pleasure, and we can just go back to splitting. This is an extremely short and simple example, but if we go back, you can just see it's so confusing when Mary and Susan both have dialogue on the same line. And then at the end, with Mary waved her wallet above the table, we don't have a way to know that that's connected to this time I'm paying. And I really do see this all the time. And sometimes I think it happens when writers are going more in a bit of a stream of consciousness and they're just writing dialogue as it comes out. But it's an easy fix to just go through every time someone new acts or thinks new space. Along the same line, don't use too many paragraph spaces. If you add a space when it is the same person, we are then suddenly going to doubt whether it is the same person talking and acting. When you have an action like Mary putting her fork down, you can keep that action in the same line and it serves as a dialogue tag. Which brings me to the next big issue, too many dialogue tags. All right, I see this all the time. And I think people are out there thinking, no one is ever going to be able to tell who is speaking in my book, so I've got to use all of these dialogue tags. Yes, sometimes I do get confused about who is speaking because there aren't enough tags, but too many tags is the more common error by far. And I actually don't think this is a bad idea. You can index to too many tags in your first draft, but then just know that you're going to have to go through and take them out as you refine your work. All right, here's our example. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good. Mary said she put her fork down. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan said she took a big bite. This time I'm paying, Mary said. She waved her wallet above the table. So I added all of those saids, and none of them are needed here. Our fix is to use a dialogue tag or action slash thought, not both. I kind of joke that when I'm doing a copy edit, half of my time is spent just deleting "she said" where it's not needed. I don't even really think that is a joke. I think that's just true of a lot of copy editing. All right, here is the fix. You can delete either the action or the tag. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good, Mary said. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan took a big bite. This time, I'm paying. Mary still felt bad that she had forgotten her wallet last week. Susan had been so nice to cover her. You can also see here that you use a comma with someone who is being described as speaking, so with a word like said. So for Mary said. But when someone is doing an action, like Susan took a big bite, you use a period. For the third paragraph, and this is where I think people sometimes get tripped up because actions are pretty clear and dialogues are pretty clear, but thoughts can be trickier. In this case, Mary is really the point of view character here. So we only get a thought from her. We don't need to hear that she said or she acted. We just hear how she feels. Mary still felt bad. All right, and here's a little caveat for picture books. Because you're limited with words in picture books and you have the illustrations doing some of the work for you, it is often best to use a dialogue tag and not an action. You don't always have full control of your paragraph spacing. I would just feel free to use "she said" in a picture book and not worry about substituting actions in as much as you would for fiction that's longer or nonfiction for older readers that doesn't have pictures. Alrighty. The problem in any category is when you have too many fancy dialogue tags. That's the best way I came up to describe them. It's just fancy. All right. So let's go to the next mistake example. And I'll give you all a hint that there is an extra bonus dialogue mistake in this example. Well, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good, Mary said snobbishly. This is my favorite salad in town, though, Susan salivated. This time I'm paying, Mary exclaimed. She waved her wallet above the table. All right, so I have gone in and added spice or fanciness to each of these dialogue tags. Mary said snobbishly could be useful because she could be saying that same dialogue nicely or snobbishly, and it adds a little more detail, but it's kind of an awkward way to do it. So I kind of have a little red flag up anytime I see the letters L-Y, so a word that's an adverb in a dialogue tag, like snobbishly. So check when you see an adverb, check to make sure you need it. salivated is a little extra. Got to keep you guys entertained. I mean, that's going to be a pretty good salad, right? Is Susan a dog? Unless she's a dog, I don't think she's actually salivating. All right. The third little too fancy tag here is exclaimed. So why would you make readers say that whole mouthful? We've got the exclamation point. Remember, we want readers to feel immersed in the book and not spend any time being impressed with the author's vocabulary. This is especially true for picture books, where it's actually more important to keep things simple and not distracting. Picture books are not tools for teaching kids vocabulary words like exclaimed. They're supposed to be good stories. All right, so our fix is just to keep it simple. On to the example. I don't even think I can eat these pancakes, Mary said. They don't hold a candle to the ones from last week. This is my favorite salad in town, though. Susan smiled. This time I'm paying. Mary waved her wallet above the table. So what I did here is I changed the actual dialogue, the words coming out of Mary's mouth, to be snobby. So we don't need snobbishly. I had Susan smile because that's more realistic than salivated. Then I just cut, Mary exclaimed. So never be afraid to just use said. It disappears and blends into the background. All right, on to the next one. This is another one that should be a really easy fix to level up your writing instantly. So characters saying each other's names too much. Here is my mistake example. Well, Susan, I think the pancakes last week were better, but these were still pretty good, Mary said. That may be true, Mary, but this is my favorite salad in town. Susan took a big bite. Susan, this time I'm paying. Mary still felt bad that she had forgotten her wallet last week. Susan had been so nice to cover her. There are so many names. I would really like to say that this is an exaggeration that I came up with, but I see dialogue that looks like this all the time. Sometimes I think it's people trying to get around providing a name for their character when they're writing in first person. So they're doing this so that we can learn the character names. Sometimes it seems like they're using names to clarify who is speaking. But you really want a light touch on names in dialogue. People do say each other's names, so maybe when they're saying hello or goodbye, or if they're in a large group and they need to specify who they are talking to, or they're speaking a hard truth, or it's a really serious moment, or maybe one character has a habit of saying a lot of names. I do know people who are like this, and they always stand out to me. But people normally don't say lots of names, like in this example. Listen to this next time you are in the position to eavesdrop, and you won't hear all of these names. All right, so my fix is pretty easy. Cut the names. All right, we can cut all the names in the spoken dialogue here, and we still know exactly who is talking. I'm not going to read this one aloud for the sake of time. I think we are kind of sick of talking about pancakes at this point. But we don't need the names to know who is talking. I would say that in 90% of circumstances, you can cut the names from your dialogue. It is so quick and easy, and it will make your writing seem instantly more professional. All right. We are going to switch up the example when we go to our next topic, characters floating in space. So, like I said, I changed up the example. I'm going to go from one of my favorite topics, which is pancakes, to another, which is dogs. Did you make an appointment for the vet for Bobo? Lara said. Oh, shoot, Joe said. I forgot. I was really counting on you to do that, Lara said. I know, and I'm so sorry, Joe said. Just another thing to add to my list, Lara said. So there's nothing wrong with he said, she said. Nothing technically wrong. But this is kind of boring, right? We don't know where these characters are or what they're doing. So the fix is to add action, thoughts, and descriptions. Okay. Lara scratched behind Bobo's ears. He didn't seem to have as much energy as normal. It was nice to snuggle up on the couch, but she was worried that he wasn't running around like he normally would be this time of night. Did you make an appointment for the vet? Oh, shoot, Joe barely looked up from his phone. I forgot. I was really counting on you to do that. Lara sighed and shifted away from Joe. I know, and I'm so sorry. Joe didn't sound very sorry. He was chuckling at something on his phone. Just another thing to add to my list. Lara stood up and stomped away. Bobo followed her, tail tucked between his legs. And my dog's name is Bobo, and he's in here with me, so he seems to be sleeping through all of these mentions of his name. So see how pretty simple actions and thoughts can really change this dialogue. So in the previous example, Joe was definitely in the doghouse, but now that he's buried in his phone and Lara is stomping away, we know that he's really in big trouble. So just through adding a little bit, you no longer have characters in space. We know that they're on the couch and then they're getting up and they're moving away. And we have a lot more cues for the emotions here. So one thing I would love for you all to do is think about as you write, what balance are you hoping to build in your writing between dialogue, action, and white space? When you look at a Word doc or Scrivener or whatever you use to draft, you should be getting a sense for the balance that you want. There's no real right answer or exact formula here, but you want to get a sense of this as it's part of your voice as a writer. Just key takeaways. Instead of focusing on the mistakes, we're going to focus on the fixes and our key takeaways. Summarize info characters would already know. Break up big chunks of dialogue. Use a new paragraph for a new character speaking or acting. Cut unnecessary dialogue tags. Keep dialogue tags simple. Don't be afraid of said. Cut unnecessary names and show the physical world around the dialogue.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Readsy Live, the podcast. You can listen to all our past episodes and subscribe to Readsy Live on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Head to blog.readsy.com/live to find out more about our upcoming live streams, and don't forget to follow us on all our social media accounts. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you all soon.